Welcome to A Voice of a People, live here with Linda Sims on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can also download an app on any electronic device, and it's called TuneIn. And once you download it, please search WWGH. And you will be able to have contact with the radio station 24 hours a day. Or, if you would like to be a part of the conversation today, please call 740-383-9944. I shared with my last show, we have 66 days left in the year of 2021. It may be a good thing for some people and a bad thing for others, but it's almost over, people. So get yourselves together for your upcoming holidays that you celebrate. I have those who faithfully support the show, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist and Logos Christian Ministries. We also have Inspect Ohio. They are faithful supporters of our show. Those of you who listen faithfully, thank you for your support. And if it's your first time, hopefully you will enjoy the program. Today seems to be Politics Day. Dana Booker just left the show the first hour, and now we have Tim Combs today. Now, Tim Combs is a retired former history teacher for Marion City Schools, and he's also our political analyst. That's the name I gave him because he knows politics like no other person I know. He can go back many, many years, so hopefully you will enjoy the things that he has to share with us for the upcoming election. November the 2nd. How are you doing today, Tim?
Okay, fine. A little wet today.
Oh, yeah. Seems to be lately wet, yeah. You know. Yep. But I guess it's kind of October weather.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, so. Halloween is usually cold and rainy and wet.
So.
Yes.
Yeah, so earlier the month it was a little warmish, but that's long gone now, so.
So how you been?
Fine.
Good. How's your family?
Fine. They're fine. Doing fine.
Well, good.
So we're, so look forward to what we're going to talk about here in the next few minutes.
Yes,
so.
Absolutely. I'm ready.
Okay. Well, actually, I'm going to talk about the 2021 election here another week, but I'd like to talk about a couple other things before we move on to that.
Okay.
And actually, one of them would deal with local things, and then has to do with the resignation of Mr. Landon as city auditor.
Oh, yeah.
As I'm sure your listeners know, a week or so ago, Mr. Landon resigned as city auditor, and there has been a whole lot of controversy during his about 22 months as city auditor. Frankly, and I think this seems to be the general consensus, the man really was in over his head in terms of not knowing the job, being able to do the job, and he didn't get the balance of the books that the state requires. And what is really difficult now is they have to get the 2022 budget ready. And usually the city auditor is very much involved in that process. Now, because he did resign, Mayor Schertzer was able to appoint, for at least temporarily, Martin Watts, who had been the chief deputy auditor, as interim auditor. Mm-hmm. And now what will happen is the Republican city committeemen will now meet to name a auditor for the next 2 years until the 2023 municipal election, when people will vote for a new auditor.
So the guy wasn't trained for the job, or he?
Well,
How did it work?
Yeah, let me just say this: Abraham Lincoln is one of my favorite presidents, okay. And considered the greatest president in U.S. history. And Abe had these little witty sayings that he came up with over the years.
Okay.
And I think one of my favorite Lincoln phrase or sayings is, I think, one that would apply to Mr. Landon. Mm-hmm. And that was the one where he said, you can fool some people all the time, and all the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. And I think Mr. Landon tried to fool all the people all the time, and that
oh
just
didn't work.
Oh, my gosh. But an even larger issue is this. Mr. Landon is the third Republican official in the last few years who either resigned or were forced out of office because of, well, in some cases, scandal or whatever. You had Julie Cagle, the former clerk of courts, resigned a few years ago because she just simply was not doing the job as clerk of courts, mm-hmm. and she was forced out.
Right.
And so that issue. You have, of course, Judge Warner and his wife convicted in a traffic case of leaving the scene of an accident, and he was forced out as a judge at that point.
Right.
By the Republican, and now Mr. Landon. Three of them in the last 5 years. And you have to wonder, where does the Republican Party get these people at? I mean, it says something that they've had these kinds of issues.
Right.
These last few years. But again, Mr. Lynn just simply, and he tried to kind of divert attention from the issues, and the fact it was, he wasn't doing the job. And he, in fact, tried to fire Mr. Watts, who apparently had tried to resign because mm-hmm. he was, I think in some ways, was getting thrown under the bus. I know Martin Watts very well.
Right.
Martin and I kind of share something. He's the longtime Republican Party treasurer. I'm the treasurer for our party. And Martin's a good guy. And I like Martin. And I think in some ways he was being, let's say, thrown under the bus by Mr. Landon.
Right.
And so the mayor has named him as the interim auditor. Now the Republican Senate committee will have to meet the next few weeks and have to name somebody as the acting or the city auditor the next couple weeks. But at least we have an acting interim. And I think Mr. Watts may at least try to get the ship righted here at this point, because it is, I mean, the city auditor is the chief fiscal officer for the city.
Right.
It's like the county auditor, Joanne Kasotis, is the chief auditor for the county.
Right.
And it's an important position. And as I say, he, I think, pulled a wool over enough people's eyes 2 years ago to get elected, and the whole thing just fell apart. In fact, I don't think the man, almost from the first day he walked into the office, was in a problem, was in trouble.
Mm.
Because we've never had this particular situation
right
before. So, okay, something else I want to talk about, and actually this is on a national level, and that was, of course, the January 6th insurrection back on January 6th last year at the Capitol last winter, when the Trump people
2021, yes,
broke into the Capitol, tried to prevent the Congress from completing the Electoral College process.
Right, right.
You now, of course, have this committee that has been formed, and Kevin McCarthy, who's the Republican leader, would not name any Republican members, but two Republicans have or on the committee who were named by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, namely Liz Cheney, that's the daughter of former Vice President Dick Cheney, and Adam Kinzinger, currently a congressman from Illinois.
Right.
And they have been very critical. They said that Mr. Trump basically was responsible for this whole thing, and they have criticized their party for what has happened. And so now they had issued a number of subpoenas for witnesses and documents, and one of those went to Steve Bannon, who was Mr. Trump's political advisor or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he would not comply with the subpoena, so the committee decided to charge him with contempt for failing to answer the subpoena. It went to the House of Representatives, and last Thursday the House formally found him in criminal contempt.
Oh, really?
Of the House.
Finally.
And actually, okay. 9 Republicans joined all the Democrats to approve that. It's now gone to the Justice Department, and Merrick Garland, the Attorney General, his office will review it. I can't believe that they will not forward this on to the U.S. Attorney for Washington, D.C.
Right.
And then I believe it goes to a federal grand jury. I don't know if there's an indictment or whatever. So Mr. Bannon could find himself in jail for refusing to comply with the subpoena. There are some other people who are compliant, or at least talking with the committee. And in just today, I believe it was the Washington Post story today, that I believe Mr. Bannon and some other people were at the called a command center the day or two the night before the January 6th deal happened, and that some of them may very well have been involved with members of Congress mm-hmm. and some White House aides in the Trump White House. So there are some people who are going to be in some very serious trouble as all
well,
this goes forward.
After that.
In fact, I was just listening to a program this afternoon on MSNBC mm-hmm. that very, very possible violations of federal law in connection with this. And then, of course, Mr. Trump also faces still, and we've not heard yet the end of this, the Fulton County, Georgia district attorney, and when he made the phone call back early in January to the Secretary of State, tried to get him to find 11,000 some odd votes to overturn the results of the
presidential election. Yeah.
And so he is in, I think Mr. Trump is in some legal jeopardy also. And we'll see how that'll work.
He is so bold. I mean, he, no shame.
Yeah. Well, as I say, I've read several books, one of them by his niece, who is a psychologist. And this is a man who refuses to accept reality, cannot accept the fact that of defeat. Mm-hmm. And he's, it's as I say, time to get over it. And some of his party need to get over it, but they are so afraid of the Trump base.
Right.
That they are, one of them here, Anthony Gonzalez, who's a Republican congressman from Ohio,
right,
was one of those who voted for the impeachment of Mr. Trump. Was one of the nine who voted to find Mr. Bannon in contempt, and he's decided not to seek re-election because it appeared he was going to probably lose his primary next spring.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
All right. So with that, I'd like to now move maybe into some talking about the local election coming up next Tuesday, a week from tomorrow, Tuesday, November 2nd. First of all, we've been having early voting since the 5th of October.
Right.
And that continues on. And actually, this week, October 25th to 29th, the early voting will go on until, for it starts at 8 a.m. in the morning, will go until 7 p.m. this week. Now, up until then, it's been stopping at 5 p.m., but this, so like today and through the rest of this week, it will go until 7 p.m.
Oh, that's good.
Then this Saturday, October 30th, there will be early voting from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Then Sunday, October 31, of course, Halloween, if you will, we will have the afternoon voting from between 1 to 5 p.m. And then on Monday, November 1st, will be the last day of early voting, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Oh, okay.
So if you don't early vote by 2 o'clock next Monday, then, of course, Election Day is Tuesday, November 2nd. Polls open at 6:30 a.m. and close at 7:30 p.m.
Okay.
So plenty of opportunities for people to vote.
To go vote, yeah.
And by the way, the early voting center last year was over at the old freshman building. This year has been moved over back over to the county building outside the Board of Elections office.
You can drop your ballots off there if you early vote?
Yeah, you can drop. There's a box, a drop box in the back of the county building.
Okay.
That you can drop if you're going to early vote that way. If you want to actually vote in person, then you go into the county building.
Okay.
And it's right down there where the Board of Elections office is. Actually, it's adjacent to the county auditor and county treasurer's office. But you won't be able to miss it because they're right there. So.
Right.
And so that, of course, is the early voting that's happening. Let's talk about the races that are on the ballot this year that are contested. There are a number of uncontested races. This is a local election.
Okay.
And we have races, of course, in the city of Marion, but also this is the election where township trustees, boards of education, village officials are being elected.
Right.
And in some of the areas, there's no contest, others, and even in the city of Marion, there's some races that are uncontested, but we'll talk about some of the contested races.
Okay.
This year, the Marion City Treasurer is up for election. That's a four-year term. And the incumbent treasurer is Democrat Thomas Panett. He's running for, I believe his fourth term. And he's being opposed by Republican Tommy Reese for the office of City Treasurer. And again, seeing what happened with Mr. Land 2 years ago, people need to be very careful in terms of the state treasurer is a fiscal officer, not the chief fiscal officer, but does have duties that he carries out as city treasurer. We want to be very careful in this because we know what happened. Frankly, Mr. Land should not have been elected 2 years ago. I mean, that's just
right.
Bottom line, as we now know.
Yeah.
So that needs to be looked at. So again, this is for a four-year term. Thomas Panett, the incumbent Democrat, and Tommy Reese, the Republican challenger. Then we're electing three city council members at large. There will be at least one new city council member elected because only one of the current council members at large is running for election. That is Democrat Mike Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
And there is another Democrat candidate, Evan Geyer, who is running. And then there are two Republican candidates, Brent Cornelius and then Aaron Rollins. Now, there is a third Republican running as a write-in candidate, Charles Richard Arndt, who actually I served with on council some years ago.
Right.
His problem is he is not on the ballot. You have to write his name in. And frankly, being a write-in candidate where there's other candidates on the ballot, it's a tough race. The only 4 years ago in River Valley School District, there was a write-in candidate for the River Valley Board of Education against the candidate who was on the ballot.
Okay.
But there was an issue. And it was a very... we were in the River Valley School District, and there was quite a campaign for this gentleman to get elected as a write-in. But there was an issue with the one candidate who was on the ballot.
Right.
And that even that was tough appeal, but as it turns out, he was elected on a write-in basis. But otherwise, if you're in as a write-in, you're really up against it because... You know, people go in and they don't even see your name.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
And, you know, so whatever. So so you have four candidates who are on the ballot running for three seats. And I'm going to guess three of those people will be elected.
Right.
And I'm going to guess Mr. Arndt will probably, he'll get votes, write-in votes, but I would be very, very surprised if he actually is even really
elected
in the running at this
okay.
point. So. All right. Then we have the ward races for ward council races. And again, the first ward, incumbent Kai Mead, who is the Democratic candidate running for re-election. And again, his opponent is not on the ballot. He's also running, David Miller, running as a write-in candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Mr. Miller faces the same problem Mr. Arndt does. Unless there's a real issue with somebody who's on the ballot,
right.
It's very difficult to defeat someone who's, you know, on the ballot as opposed to someone not on the ballot. So that's that contest. Second ward, we have the incumbent Democrat, Ayers Ratliff, veteran second ward councilman. And he's being opposed by Republican Pamela Larkin for the second ward council seat.
Now, how long has Ayers been in his position?
I think he's been probably running for about maybe his eighth or ninth term, I believe.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, he's been there for a number of years. Of course, his uncle was a council member, and then another uncle was a council member, so the Ratliff family has been in that office for a number of years, off and
yeah.
on.
Yeah, okay,
so.
Okay.
The third ward race, actually, there's not a race. The third ward is Republican... Jason Chauber, and he's unopposed for re-election. He did have an opponent at one point, but that individual moved out of the city, and they couldn't come up with someone else, so he's uncontested. The fourth ward, we have a contest. The incumbent Republican is Joshua Feliciano, running for a second term, and he's being opposed by Democrat Dana Hanif Booker,
right.
who you just had on here a few minutes
right.
ago. So that is a contest for the fourth ward seat. I have kind of a sentimental thing with the fourth ward because that was the ward I was represented for 8 years
mm-hmm.
as fourth ward councilman back in the 1980s and before I went on council large. The fifth ward also sees a contest, and this is between the current Republican office holder, Karen Fosnaugh, who was not elected. She actually was appointed to replace the lady who was in the performing, Frank, I can't give you the lady's name, I can't remember it now,
mm-hmm.
who resigned.
Right.
And the Republican Ward Committeeman named this Karen Fosnaugh the seat. She's being opposed by Democrat Tara Dyer.
Okay.
Running the fifth ward race. And Ms. Dyer, in fact, 2 years ago, just lost that race by 7 votes. So
right.
that is, you know, so I'm sure she's going to try to.
Highly contested election.
Race.
Yeah.
And the sixth ward, we have a little unusual situation here. The incumbent Democrat is Kathy Swanger, a retired school teacher like
right.
myself. And her opponent is Republican Mike Neff, who's currently a council member at large, but the Republican Party persuaded him to run for the sixth ward seat. And so that is a contest for the sixth ward council race. And those are the contested races in the, well, then another race in the city of Marion, but it's uncontested, is Democrat Todd Schneider for city council president.
Okay.
He has no opposition for re-election, so he's kind of guaranteed re-election there. There is one other race contest in the city of Marion, a couple of areas we should talk about. There are three candidates running for two seats on the Marion City Board of Education.
Oh, okay.
And because technically these are nonpartisan, two current board members are retiring. So you now have Kathleen Clements Keller running for one of the seats, one of the two seats. Rocky Ratliff, local attorney and a cousin of Councilman Harris Ratliff. And Scott Weibling, who was a former teacher at Marion Harding, who actually, I know Scott, we were colleagues in the social studies department when I was still working. And so two of those three will be elected to the Marion City Board of Education, replacing two members who are retiring. There's one other contest that involved people in the city of Marion, but also involves people outside the city of Marion, and that is for Marion Township trustee. There are two positions to be filled. Point of information here. The city of Marion is part of Marion Township.
Okay.
As it's the only township in the county where it has an incorporated city within it. But the people in the city of Marion do vote for Marion Township trustee.
Okay.
In fact, the one trustee running for re-election, Lynn Thomas, is a city resident running for a second term. The other incumbent trustee is Karen S. McCleary, running for, I think, her fourth term.
Okay.
Township trustee. And then there's a third candidate running at Ben Cressup. And again, two of those people will be elected to the position of Marion Township trustee. In fact, this year, all the townships are electing two trustees. But there are several townships where there's no contest. I'm looking here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 townships. There's no contest.
No contest.
Just two people running. And in fact, actually, up in Grand Township, there's only one position running, which means the two remaining trustees, come January, will have to appoint someone to serve for the next 2 years. Then that person will have to run in 2 years for an unexpired term. So, but we do have contests in Big Island, Grand Prairie, Marion, Scott, and Tully Townships have contests. And then there's three townships which are electing for an expired term position of Township Fiscal Officer. But there's, again, they're all uncontested. Then all the villages are electing members of council. And again, in all the villages, for instance, in each of the villages are electing four people to the council, but only one person is running, which means that come January, the other members of the village council have to name at least three council members who will serve two-year terms, and then they'll have to run again in 2 years. In Green Camp, anyway, LaRue, nobody even filed, which means that come January, the remaining council members will have to appoint either the people who are in office or somebody else to the LaRue Village Council. Moral Township, Moral Village of Moral, there are two running, so they'll have to name two other people. New Bloomington, the same thing, two people running, they'll have to name two people. Prospect Village actually has one lady running on the ballot, but there are 1, 2, 3, 4 write-in candidates for the Prospect Village Council. So I presume the lady who's on the ballot will get elected.
Right.
And so at least three of the four write-ins will get elected.
Right.
So forth. And then Waldo, again, just one person running, which means they'll have to name three other people in January when the new council meets.
I don't even think about those little...
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, it's difficult in many of these villages to get people to run for office.
Right. Plus, you have to live in those...
Well, yeah, you have to live in the village.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, and they serve, they run at large in the village.
Okay.
One little point I should make here, Marion is what is referred to as a statutory city.
Okay.
And the nine members of the council and the council president are the only two-year term local officials in the county, because all your members of boards of education all serve 4 year terms.
Okay.
All the village officials, mayors and council members, serve 4 year terms. Those villages that have what is called a Board of Public Affairs, they're a 4 year term.
Okay.
Now, the Board of Public Affairs, I believe that if there's a utility of some sort in the village, that's when they elect to call the Board of Public Affairs.
Right.
As I said, the only 2 year, and then of course the city of Marion, the mayor, the treasurer, the auditor, the law director are 4 year term officials.
Okay.
Of course, the municipal judge is a 6 year term. So the council, 9 council members of the city of Marion and the council president are the only 2-year term elected, local elected officials. Everybody else is a 4-year term. And so that is, you know, just... Now, there is a provision in the law that they could, if the people of Marion were to adopt on a vote, could go to 4-year terms for their council members. But
okay.
That's never been brought up, as far as I know.
Hmm.
Then, Board of Education are electing 2 people this year in each of the, in Marion County. Cardin and Lincoln, there's only 1 lady running, so which means they'll have to name someone else.
Okay.
3 running for 2 positions in Marion City, and 2 running in the Pleasant. And then other boards of education are electing 3 members. It depends on, and I'm not sure exactly why the determination, but like Ridgedale has 3 people running, well, actually has 2 people on the ballot, and 1 woman running as a write-in for 3 seats, so they'll presumably be elected. You got 3 people running for the Elgin Board, 3 elected,
okay.
So they're elected. River Valley, 3 people running for 3 seats, they'll be automatically elected. And then we do have a couple of Buckeye Valley and Upper Sandusky, which are, and Northmore, which include a portion of Marion County, but they overlap into mostly Morrow and, in the case of Buckeye Valley, Delaware County.
Okay.
There's a small portion of those areas that overlap into Marion County. And of course, people can vote for those positions. It's like Elgin. Actually, there's a small portion of it that goes over into Hardin County.
Oh, okay.
And so there's people in that portion of that district can vote for them also. There's also a position on the Elgin board for an unexpired term, someone running for Marion 2 years. Then we do have questions and issues on the ballot.
Okay.
Marion City has a school district has a renewal levy on the ballot, a 5.02 levy for 5 years.
What is that levy for?
Just general expenses, for the school district. Tri Rivers, which of course is the vocational school that runs in some number of different counties, has a renewal levy on the ballot.
No taxes, right? No new taxes?
No, it's just renewal levy.
Okay.
Marion, Morrow, Crawford, and there may be a couple of the little areas. Those are the 3 major ones.
Okay.
Marion County is the major portion of that. Tri Rivers is the issue. You've got some fire district issues. Ridgedale's got a renewal levy on the ballot, plus the township has a renewal levy. There is what they call a Marion County gas aggregation proposal, and basically this is where these areas would go together to get a better deal on natural gas prices. Certain parts of Marion County will vote on that. So that's kind of the overall issue. In Marion, there's one of the little Waldo Village, Delco. This is a question for the voters of Waldo Village. May Waldo Village arrange with Delco Company, Water Company, to provide a water system for Waldo residents? And that's out of Delaware County.
Okay.
So, and I think that kind of summarizes what is going to be on the ballot for, as I say, local races.
Right, local races.
And townships and so on.
Okay. Can I ask a question?
Yes.
What are the responsibilities of a ward?
A ward council member?
Council member.
Well, they have the same as any other. Marion City has 9 council members.
Right.
You have the 6 ward council members, then you have the 3 council members at large.
Okay.
The 3 at large, of course, run citywide. And then the voters in each of the wards elect a ward council member. I think the idea behind that was you had 3 people that kind of have a general view for the whole city. Then you've got 1 member of council who is kind of presumably going to look out for their part
right.
of the city.
Okay.
And but they're all serve the same term, the same amount of money. They've got the same power. Just that the ward council members, of course, have to live in that ward and just run in that ward.
Okay.
So
that means they have jurisdiction over things that happen in.
Well,
the
it's the legislative body for the city. They pass city ordinances. And you know, the general legislative body for the city of Marion.
Okay.
Pointer, just kind of off the topic a little bit. As I say, Marion, we're part of the we're the minority in the state in terms of only about 25% of the cities in the state are what they call general statutory cities. Okay. 75% of the cities in the state are what they refer to as charter cities. In other words, they've got their own city charter.
Okay.
Been written specifically for that community. I mean, Delaware, Marysville,
okay.
Francisville, Upper Sandusky are charter cities, and they have their charters. It depends on what their charter says and how they elect their people. So.
Okay. So that's a little different than our county.
Yes, yes, okay. Yeah. Ours is set by state statute.
Okay.
So. Yeah, I believe that kind of covers the as I say, this election isn't quite as glamorous, as you say, as a presidential election goes. But
true.
They're important because local
yes,
officials
they are
important.
Important.
In fact, in the last few months, you've got a lot about boards of education because with the COVID-19, the thing, the vaccines and masks and so forth, and there's been some concern that some board members have even been, in some cases, been threatened.
Really?
So forth. And there is some question, is there some sort of coordination going on, which across state lines is making this a federal matter.
Okay.
And I know the Department of Justice has been trying to take a look at this. Is there something that caused?
Wow.
So yeah, but it's
threatening.
It's in many ways being a Board of Education member can be in some cases kind of a thankless position.
Yeah, I see.
Because of course, the Boards of Education as the in a community, they set the general things for policy for the school district.
Right.
The superintendent, who is appointed by the board to serve as the chief administrative officer for the school district.
Okay.
And actually, in many ways, the board, superintendent and board of education arrangement is almost what you would have in a city for city manager council.
Mm-hmm.
Because the board of education members are elected for a four-year term, five of them usually. Now, bigger cities like Columbus have a seven-member board.
Right.
And they set the general policy, then they employ a professional educator as the superintendent of schools.
Okay.
And usually that person is given a great deal of latitude and authority to do things that need to be done to make sure the school system is operating and so forth.
Right. Right.
It depends on the community, what they want. But again, we have, in Marion City, we have five board members elected four-year terms. At this time, we're electing two.
Okay.
Because the three board members are what they call in midterm.
Right.
They'll come up in 2 years from now. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what about on the national level?
Well, nationally, of course, this is what they call an odd-year election.
Okay.
There are two states, New Jersey and Virginia, holding elections for their state officials this year.
Okay.
In New Jersey, Governor Phil Murphy, I believe it is running for re-election for second term. Democrat incumbent probably going to get an easy re-election. The big one we looked at is in Virginia. Virginia is a unique state. They're the only state where governors cannot run for another consecutive term.
Really?
Every 4 years they
get a new one?
The new governor. Former Governor Terry McAuliffe is the Democratic nominee. Republican candidate is Glenn Youngkin. And actually, Mr. Trump is playing a role in this way because Joe Biden carried Virginia by 10 points last year. And Mr. Youngkin is trying to maneuver his way through because Mr. Trump is very unpopular in Virginia, particularly in the northern Virginia suburbs abutting D.C.
Okay.
And that has made that state into a very Democratic state. And so Virginia's elected a governor, lieutenant governor, and attorney general.
Okay.
And then they elect what they call their House of Delegates, which is like our State House of Representatives.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been elected also for 2 year terms and so on. And Democrats right now have a majority there, and I suspect they're going to keep the majority in this House. The state senators are not up again in 2 years.
Right.
So, former President Obama was just in Virginia here over the weekend for Mr. McAuliffe. Vice President Harris was in for Mr. McAuliffe.
Okay.
And I think President Biden may be in. He's leaving later this week to go to Europe for environmental conference in, I believe, Glasgow, Scotland. So.
Okay.
So that's the quote national. And, of course, I'm sure around the country there are different mayor's races and other things around the
country. Like ours.
And then, of course, in the state of Ohio, you may have been seeing some things out of Columbus. There's a special, actually two special congressional elections being held in Ohio this year to fill vacancies, one up in Cleveland. Martha Fudge, who President Biden named as Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, she kind of resigned her seat in that election as being for the rest of her district. And then Steve Stivers on Columbus resigned his seat, took a position in private as head of the Chamber of Commerce.
Okay.
There's an election for that seat between Representative Allison Russo and a Frank Kerry, who is the Trump-endorsed Republican, who apparently is an industry lobbyist. Ms. Russo's made an issue of the fact that he was tied in with Larry Householder in the House Bill 6 scandal involving bribery and so on. So, and those are special elections for the remaining of the term through next year.
Right.
So, and then, of course, there are state elections in all these communities and boards of education around the state.
Right.
So, and then in other states, again, different local officials looked at other states. So,
right. I haven't really been watching politics lately. I don't know if I've lost interest in it or what, because I used to be all over it, you know. But
well, as I say, after you come out of a presidential year, it kind of lower because you don't have as much, you know, in terms of the
excitement
kinds of offices.
And all that, yeah.
But local officials are important people.
Yes, very important.
And they set things. In fact, in many ways, probably more impact your life than
some of the
national basis.
That's true.
You know,
so
like
true.
Your streets, the sewers, they get paved, whatever, that kind of thing.
Right.
And of course, obviously, boards of education in terms of your schools and so on. Those are certainly very important kinds of things.
So is Judge Finnegan, he's still on the bench?
Judge Finnegan is still there. It's interesting. What's happened here is, of course, Governor DeWine is a Republican.
Right.
And so the local Republican committee presumably would recommend someone to him to appoint to fill out, to fill out until next year for former Judge Warner's seat.
Right.
Then that person will have to run for the unexpired term. My understanding is that the Republican Central Committee sent down to the governor back in late July, early August, three names.
Really?
And the governor has not yet appointed anybody.
Okay.
And now Mr. Finnegan was named by Chief Justice Maureen O'Connor to be the acting judge until that appointment.
Right.
And the governor has not moved on it. I have a suspicion, it's strictly on my own, I'm not, don't have any facts to back this up, that I don't think the governor's office was particularly happy that they sent them three names.
Oh.
I think they should. I think they would much prefer that they make one name.
Right.
What they were trying to do, whether they could not, within the Republican Central Committee, couldn't decide who they wanted to send, so they sent them three names. Now they want the governor's office to make the decision. And the governor's not particularly happy about that or not doing it, because it's been usually these kinds of things. Once they get the recommendation and background and so forth,
right,
in a matter of a couple weeks, they make the appointment. It's now been, 3 months, and they still haven't made the appointment yet. We'll see. We'll see what happens. It could come down tomorrow for all I know.
Right.
But right now, Judge Finnegan continues on as the acting judge.
He had to come out of his retirement.
Yeah. And, of course, he had been doing some things around the state, different other counties, but now he's been doing this since
In our county.
Well, August of last year, I believe. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Back on the bench. Whoa.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was thinking the Republican ticket, they've been damaged somewhat, too, because of their activities and
how they responded. The January 6th insurrection and all that, I mean, that was, I think, it was worth it. And frankly, Mr. Trump's still playing about the 2020 election. Many Republicans are saying that it's not a great idea.
No, it's not.
Because you're talking about stuff that's already happened. What about the current and future?
Right.
And that is probably going to hurt them in maybe the next year's state elections.
Can he be re-elected?
Well, of course, he's going to run again. I mean, he could. But the thing is, Mr. Trump faces possibly some legal jeopardy. I mean, he might find himself being indicted at some point on some of these things. We'll have to wait and see on that process. But one other thing I'm going to bring up here, and it's kind of a tangent thing.
Okay.
We're in the year in which, because of the federal census earlier this year, redistricting.
Okay.
Now, the State Redistricting Commission came up with new lines for the State Senate and State House of Representatives.
Right.
There's been at least three lawsuits filed over that, and now it goes to the State Supreme Court. There is kind of a consensus among some people that they think the State Supreme Court is going to throw out what the Redistricting Commission did, because it appears to be some Republican gerrymandering. And although there's four Republicans and three Democrats in the State Supreme Court, particularly Chief Justice Connor is not particularly happy with the whole matter of gerrymandering. So that, and then plus the other thing that's going to happen by the end of this week, they have to have a congressional redistricting map, and that may then get thrown over to the state legislature for something, and that likely is going to face a lawsuit. So these things are still very much up in the air as to what's going to happen with those issues.
And should be. I mean, it's not fair.
People adopted the so-called fair districts proposals here a couple years ago.
Right.
And it's like they're not getting what they voted for.
No.
So what they're doing is they're inviting maybe even another amendment to the state constitution.
Right.
Where
a
commission would then have the sole responsibility of doing it. Just totally take it out of the hands of this redistricting commission. So we'll see how all this plays out over the next weeks and months ahead. So
it's just not fair that you can draw lines whenever you feel like it.
Well, of course, it's supposed to be done every 10 years. The plan
every 10 years.
They've adopted right now would only go for 4 years. They'd have to do it again in 4 years. So, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. So.
Wow, that gives them the advantage, right?
Well, it can. It could.
That's their intention.
Well, as I said, they were hoping to get a 10-year plan, but I don't think that's going to happen. So.
Oh, wow. Politics, people, politics.
Yes. But again, I would urge anybody who's not voted yet, and whether you're going to vote early or actually on election day itself. My wife and I have actually decided we're going to vote around the township, so we don't have as much to vote on. We're actually going to vote election day rather than.
Okay.
We vote, the last few years we've always voted early, but
right.
This time we're going to go ahead and vote the actual election
date.
So,
I haven't voted yet either.
So,
yeah. Okay. But I have to be at election night. I have to be at the county building.
The Board of Elections office, yeah.
It's not much fun down there, but
yeah, so.
I'll have to report from there. But
Okay.
Yeah.
So. That pretty well comes out and covers most of what I wanted to cover today. And,
good.
I know you're having a candidate's event here on, I think, Thursday night.
Yeah, candidate's night, Thursday night at 7 p.m.
And, of course, Lubbock voters have their voters guide out. They have always had a candidate's night, but last year and this year they didn't do it because of the COVID-19. So hopefully next year they'll be back.
I hope so.
League of Women Voters. Hopefully they'll be back next year.
I think they went Zoom last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, they didn't have one.
Something on there.
The last candidate's night for the League of Women Voters was 2 years ago. In
2 years ago?
2019, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they canceled.
So I'm sure they'd like to get back next year to get it back, have another one.
I surely hope so.
Yeah.
So. They always had a fun night. A
well, it was always one of the major events at the end of the campaign.
Yes, big event. A lot of elected officials.
Yeah. I've been involved with several of those over the years myself.
So. Right, because you ran for office yourself, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, award?
Ward and then Consul at Large, too.
Consul at Large, yes, absolutely. Yeah. Well, Tim, thank you.
Okay.
As always.
All right, and we'll see you here in a couple weeks after the election. We'll talk about the post-election process.
Absolutely.
Okay.
On the 8th of November.
8th of November, 2 weeks from today. So.
Tim will be back with the results of the election.
Yeah.
So thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
Right. So hopefully those of you were brought up to date about the upcoming election, November the 2nd. Make sure you vote. And I haven't really been screaming that lately because I haven't really been into politics. I changed over my TV system. So I'm on Fire Stick now, right? So I don't get a lot of news. I can, day late, that kind of stuff, you know, but I'm still trying to navigate my way through this new system that we have set up. You be safe,
okay.
Tim, and thank you again so much. So thank you for listening to A Voice of a People here on WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. Please stay tuned for tomorrow, 4:15 to 5 p.m. I will be having Brad DeCamp. He will be my guest tomorrow. I think it's 4:30 to 5. It will be a call-in interview. He is the director of the Adam H. Board of, I think, Marion, Ohio, and Bucyrus, and maybe some other counties. He's into a lot of different things to help with addiction and drug abuse. So please stay tuned for tomorrow, 4:30 to 5, right here on 107.1 FM radio. This is Linda Sims, the voice of a people. Till next time, be blessed.
You're listening to WWGH Radio, LP, Marion, Ohio. Anyway, I'm going to give it now, 740-383-9944. We're doing current events.